Let me give you a brief background of Handel and his great musical oratorio called The Messiah. George Friedrich Handel was born in Halle, Germany, into a religious affluent family. His father, George Handel, a celebrated surgeon in northern Germany, wanted his son to study law. But an acquaintance, a duke, heard the prodigy, then barely 11 years old, playing the organ. This duke's recognition of the boy's genius most likely influenced the father, the doctor, and his decision to allow his son to become a musician. By the age of 18, Handel had composed his first opera called Almira, initially performed in Hamburg in 1705. During the next 5 years, he was employed as a musician, composer, and conductor at courts and churches in Rome, Florence, Naples, Venice, as well as in Germany, where the Elector of Hanover, the future King George I of England, was briefly his patron. In the orchestra world, George Friedrich Handel's Messiah is an annual Christmas tradition, though it was never meant to be a Christmas piece. It was originally an Easter piece. But be that as it may, it is likely that 13 of the 22 largest American orchestras will perform this Handel's Messiah 38 times. The Messiah premiered in 1742, when the German-born Handel was the preeminent composer in his adopted home in the United Kingdom. Handel's name drew such a crowd that audience members were advised to leave their hoop skirts and swords at home for fear of overcrowding the Dublin premiere. How did this all happen? Jennings, a literary scholar, had carefully selected about 53 pieces of Old and New Testament scriptures, just direct scripture, which documented prophecies about the Messiah, Jesus' birth, his death on the cross, and his resurrection. Charles Dennens handed Handel these words of Messiah. Handel was really going through a time of deep personal turmoil of soul. It was also a time of a growing interest in deism. Deists did not believe in the divinity of Christ. And this scholar, Jennings, collected these 53 pieces of Bible text, put it together in the theme of Messiah, gave it to Handel, who composed this musical piece of about 3 hours. It was a very personal passion, a very personal mission, as Jennings was a very committed Christian, and so was Handel. And they used it as an evangelistic gospel outreach. Only the first of the 3 parts of Handel's Messiah was about the birth of Jesus. The second act covers the death of Jesus, and the third focuses on his resurrection. Handel wrote the original version of Messiah in just 3 to 4 weeks. Some estimate he spent only 24 days writing this 259 pages of music and words put together. There are remarkably few mistakes. People have analyzed it. And there are roughly 250,000 notes, musical notes, in Messiah. When you put it all together, that means Handel would have had to keep a continuous space writing 15 notes a minute. Handel rewrote parts of the oratorio to better meet the abilities of soloists and available instruments with each of the original 13 first performances. At the end of Messiah, Handel wrote the words SDG, which is Soli Deo Gloria, to the God, to God alone be the glory. And so as we begin our worship of not baby Jesus, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, I want you to first of all turn your attention to the longings of Israel. For 400 long years, God had not spoken to his people. That was punishment, judgment, the wrath of God against the rebellious, sinful people that God had chosen to love. The Jews were now under an oppressive Roman rule. All through these generations of oppression, struggling with life on earth, God's people longed for salvation. They were mistakenly looking for salvation from earthly suffering, earthly pain, and from the oppression of Rome. As we think about that, what are you seeking? As you celebrate the birth of Jesus, it's not just the birth of Jesus. He was born to live 33 years on earth. He spent 3 years and a little more of his life not just healing the sick and doing great miracles, but teaching, especially his disciples. What do you seek from his life, his teachings? As you celebrate his birth, you can't forget his death. What do you seek from his death? But he rose again. What does that mean to you? And are you longing for that ultimate salvation when Jesus Christ will come again? Let's sing together with the recorded music. Sing in our hearts. O come, Emmanuel, which will be followed immediately by Come, Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Oh, come.
Some captive Israel that goes in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Our next Christmas carol, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, most of us may not know, but it is really a petition, a prayer of longing that implores Christ to be among us. Six times the imperative verb is used. Come Thou long expected Jesus is the first one. Take note of that. Come, thou long expected Jesus. The next one is the imperative verbs in from our fears and sins release us. The third is let us find our rest in thee. Then there is, now thy gracious kingdom bring. followed by rule in all our hearts alone, as well as raise us to thy glorious throne. The combined effect of these longings is a tone of supplication. Charles Wesley, who wrote this Christmas carol, succeeds in recalling the deep longing of ancient Israel for their Savior, Messiah, the Anointed One, the Promised One. Charles Wesley also draws upon another combined technique, the repetition of a single word for effect. Notice again and again the repeated word, born. It appears 4 times in this Christmas carol. Each time born is sung, an aspect of Christ's mission to a troubled world is revealed. Born to set thy people free. Born thy people to deliver. Born a child and yet a king. Born to raise, reign in us forever, to be our king. You may not know this Christmas hymn, but let the words speak a clear message to you personally. You can be free from sinful habits. You can be delivered from all that holds you back, to be 100% available to serve your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He must be your King, the one to whom you owe total allegiance. No one else must sit on the throne of your life. His reign must be in you forever. Pray as we join in worship that you will be consistent in your obedience and submission to your King. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Joy of every love. to the book of Isaiah, 66 chapters, represent God's message to Israel. But down through history, that message comes to us as well. The first 40 chapters, the first 39 chapters of gloom and doom in the book of Isaiah spelt out for Israel their sin and rebellion against the Lord. In those first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah, God tells his people through Isaiah the prophet that judgment would surely come upon them because of the wrath of God. But as you turn to chapter 40, Isaiah brings God's message of the coming Messiah who would bring comfort to God's people. And the word comfort is not to be understood as we understand comfort. It's the comfort that God would bring his people by bringing them to repentance from their rebelliousness and their sins, that would take away the wrath of God because of the coming Messiah who would be born to bring them forgiveness through his death on the cross, all predicted in Isaiah. For instance, in chapter 53, they would experience the comfort of forgiveness, of reconciliation, of coming back into relationship with their God. In Isaiah chapter 40, I read the first 5 verses. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins, double blessing. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Why? Because the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Every valley shall be exalted, crooked way made straight, rough places made plain, even in your life. God himself had spoken these promises to his people. He speaks those promises to you now. You have rough portions of your life, crooked ways, and you need your valleys to be filled up. God can do it through Christ. His people must believe. You must believe this can be your experience because of nothing less than this, that God himself has said it. As you hear this rendering of God's comfort, open your own lives to turn from crooked and rough ways to be made straight and plain. Receive God's comfort through his forgiveness. The next rendering, comfort ye my people, will be immediately followed with the same choir singing, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. As you experience God's comfort and become part of God's people, God's glory will be revealed for all the people around us to see. it together. Comfort ye, followed by immediately the glory of the Lord.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but all these pieces make their hair on my hand stand, thrills my soul. Pure words from God's word put to such wonderful music by a man committed to Christ. He had many names conferred on him, titles, really, that also show his attributes. And beyond that, show how he can work in an individual's life. Emmanuel is God with us. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 and 10 said that this good news, go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, which not only represents the city of God, the heaven, but also the people of God. Herald of good news, proclaimer of good news, lift up your voice with strength. Use all your energy, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Be bold about this good news. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might. His arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. Not only Emmanuel, but he is the shepherd who can, through your life, throughout your life, shepherd your soul, feed you by living waters, still waters, lush green pastures, which is really his word as you feast on it, opening your Bibles and reading it, meditating on it every day. Verse 11 of Isaiah 40 says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather his lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. We now have two renderings of Handel's Messiah in this context. O thou that tellest good tidings, and he shall feed his flock. We are not being entertained, we are led to worship. Start from the beginning. Who has not heard the words of Isaiah chapter 9 and verses 6 and 7? For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The next piece of Messiah is the message of Jesus and his various names. And as I said, those names recall for us the very attributes of God and the work he can do in each one of our lives if we just allow him rule over us. The government of your life must be on his shoulder if you want to experience all his names, all his attributes, as well as his cleansing and shepherding work in your personal lives. For unto us a child is born will be followed by a brief message from a dear friend. Thank you.
put up our Christmas lights, and they're soft. These white little ones, you know, they cast a glow when you walk up our path. Today it's so soft, it's so beautiful, it's gentle. It's like the Christmas story. Jesus did not arrive in a show of bright, colorful lights. His entry was understated, but maybe just the glow of a soft lantern in the manger. To me, that humble scene is such a contrast to the Bible calling the babe in the straw, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In Judges 13, God says, "Why do you ask my name? It is wonder. It is too outstanding for words. And this Jesus is our counselor, the one who came, who had no need to be surrounded by advisors like human kings." Jesus says he's the mighty God, which in Hebrew means hero. He is the hero God who rescues us. And he's the Prince of Peace. The greatness of Jesus is established in peace rather than war. He is our warrior king, our hero God, full of wonder beyond our grasp. And he came for you. So this season, let yourself be rescued, get delivered, get healed, be saved. It is what will make this Christmas merry and bright for you. And that is great news from all of us at Chunkin' Friends.
I hope you take time to find out more about Johnny and Friends and become a prayer partner. It's a great ministry. I hope one day DCC will sing like what we've heard throughout the service. It's time for our offerings, and I'm going to ask Pratap to take the offerings and then pray that God will bless the use of our offerings as we rise and sing, "What Child Is This?" At the time of creating this Christmas carol, the author served as an insurance company manager and had been struck by a critical illness. While recovering from that illness, he experienced a spiritual revival that led him to write several hymns, including this Christmas carol, "What Child Is This?" that was subsequently set to the tune of "Green Leaves," a traditional English folk song. Every military band, even in India, plays the music without knowing where it is originally from. Jesus once asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am? Who am I?" Each verse of the next carol asks that question, which we must answer for ourselves. It's very personal. Who is Jesus? What do you make of him? Has he become part of your life? What child is this? As we give our offerings.
Who made us three, 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 three.
Please be seated as I read a few passages from where Handel composed the Hallelujah chorus. First of all, in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 6, John on Patmos wrote these words, "Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." In chapter 11 and verse 15, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And then in chapter 19 and verse 16, "Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet." Sorry, verse 6 of chapter 19. "Then I heard what seemed to be And on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." We'll wait for a few minutes. Maybe he hasn't turned on the generator. But I hope so far you have been allowing God's word through all the music to sink in as you reflect on the story of Jesus, his birth, his names, his work, what he can do in your life. I trust you have been blessed, especially as you open your lives. Those of you who have never done so, don't think you're too young. And how foolish to think that you will lose out on fun and a great life if you surrender to Jesus Christ. He promised you abundant life. And for those of you who know Christ, don't stagnate. Don't stay put in what you have already received in the experience of salvation. Grow in your hunger and thirst to understand Jesus more. There's so much around Christmas. Wherever you go, through hymns and all kinds of scenes. I was at a little shop run by a Roman Catholic in Sachapi Street. And there were people who didn't know what they were talking about and asking him on the 22nd of December, "Do you have a crib?" And he said, "It's all sold out." I thought, all sold out. All cribs sold out. But do you know what the crib is all about? You want to have a crib. We spend our whole lives cribbing about life. Find in Jesus a real sense of contentment and satisfaction. So in Revelation chapters 11 and chapter 19, the verses are before you. It says of Handel that he never left his house during the possible 3 weeks that he spent composing the 259 pages of music and words put together. Never once left his home. A friend who visited him discovered him sobbing with intense emotion during the writing. And surely he was also playing and listening to get it all correct. Some have said that the whole Handel's Messiah must have been an inspiration from God himself. It is so moving. I would urge you, all of you, to take time to hear the whole of this wonderful, almost 3 hours of scripture. After he wrote the Hallelujah Chorus, this piece which we are about to participate in, and I am praying that you will be lifted up to heaven itself. After he wrote this piece, Handel was quoted as saying, "I think I did see all heaven before me and the great God himself." On YouTube, the hits for the Hallelujah Chorus are running currently at about 43 million. We won't stand for this great piece, but surely close your eyes and see God himself. Let the music and words impact your souls. The Hallelujah Chorus. This is a great time for several of us to lead out in prayer of worship and thanksgiving to God for the message of Christmas. So in your own places, either stand or remain seated, but with a loud voice, pray out and thank God as you let the message of Christmas embrace your soul. I'm going to ask Prashant to come and give us some announcements about lunch and next Sunday and New Year's Eve or New Year's thing. And as he comes, I just want to let you know I deliberately have chosen songs and music that you are not familiar with, because I want to expose you to the fact that Christmas is so huge and it embraces the whole Bible. And it's not just "Oh come all ye faithful, silent night and joy to the world." There's so much more in the message of Christmas. I also want to very, very specially say thank you to the new couple, Amruta and Vishal. You have encouraged my heart as you have interrupted your honeymoon to be examples of commitment to a local church. You've come on the 20th, 3 days after your wedding. You've come here. I know there are other reasons why you have come in and out of Pune, but you're here in church. And we very, very, very warmly welcome Amruta into our church family. Thank you. Yes, sir. Please come forward and make the announcements.
Announcements for the week. Today there will be lunch after the worship service. And on the 27th, Sunday, we'll have our regular worship service starting at 10:30 a.m. And again, there will be lunch on 27th after the worship service as well. The 31st New Year's Eve that we always have and celebrate together as a church, but we won't be having that on the 31st evening, as there are some laws that are coming from the government that says that there will be curfew after 7 p.m. onwards. So we won't be meeting on the 31st at 8 p.m. onwards that we usually do, but we will be meeting on the 1st at 10:30 a.m. here in the church, and we'll start a new year this year with a worship service, and that will be 10:30 a.m. onwards on the 1st of January, and again lunch will be provided.
You're not starting with breakfast, huh?
We can do that. But there'll be lunch provided, or a brunch will be provided. But that's that, and just continue to pass on this information, and also on the 1st, as we were going to have a sharing time on the 31st, so that remains, and yet those who want to give in their names on the 1st, as they would like to share. Already people have given me the names last week, those who want to share. So those who are yet not given and would like to share, feel free to give me your names after the worship service. So first, we will have a worship service at 10:30 a.m. in the morning. That's all for the announcements.
Our next Christmas carol have some lines with the Roman Catholics disapprove. There's the line, "Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?" There's a line which says, "This child that you delivered will soon deliver you." The notion that Mary needs deliverance from sin and the penalty of sin defies the Roman Catholic Church's doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. If Mary needs a savior, then she cannot be the vessel of the incarnation. That's what they think. But God thought otherwise. Others reject the song because of its emphasis on Mary's virginity. It's part of purity culture, which is destructive for rape victims. So there's a lot of controversy over this Christmas carol, "Mary, Did You Know?" Jesus was born of a pure virgin because he is God Almighty and came in human flesh to save us from our sin. There could be no other way to clean your life up from sin, its consequences, and its destructive power over you. As we sing the next Christmas song, let your hearts be filled with gratitude that Mary was willing to be the slave of her Lord. Remember, she said, "I am the slave of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm willing to go through the shame, embarrassment, the mocking." She allowed Jesus, God in human flesh, to be born through her, even though she would also live in great sorrow throughout her life as she saw Jesus being humiliated all through his ministry. I'm sure she followed him and wondered, "Mary, did you really know?" I think she knew a lot. The angel Gabriel told her a lot. I also think she put it all together because she could connect the dots. She was a very spiritual, godly young lady. She knew her Bible. She knew those longings of Israel through the prophetic writings. And she went through the pain. The sword pierced her own soul as she saw him finally crucified. Mary knew a lot, but with Joseph, she bore it all. What about you? Will you be like Mary and be willing to bear reproach? Not just enjoy Merry Christmas, but also the world going against you because you love Jesus. Mary, did you know?
Angel.
1800s in France. The song stirred a lot of controversy in the church to the point where it was banned. Composer Placide Kapo thought about the birth of Jesus as catalogued in the Gospel of Luke, which means he studied it well as he wrote this song's lyrics. Like O Come, Emmanuel, that hymn was written by someone who didn't believe in the Trinity. As you go through all the videos available on social media, you will find that most of the carols are sung by unbelievers. The best choirs that render the best music for Christmas are Mormons, who are a cult and not real Christians. And O Holy Night, the author who penned these words, was in his later life swayed by socialist propaganda and walked away from Christ. So the church in France condemned the work. You walked away from Christ. What about you? You've been here, some of you, for so long. Even children. And you walk away from Christ. As we sing together and worship through the lyrics of A Holy Night, let's think about it. You know, you can talk about being so close. Actually, you're not so close to Christ. You're that close to hell. Don't ever think someone is so close. Because you can't be so close to Christ without surrender to Christ. If you think you're so close, you're only so close to hell. Because you could die right now. Jesus Christ could come right now. Christmas will be merry hell for those who don't believe. Let's join in, O Holy Night.
Oh, night divine.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of God's Holy Spirit rest and abide with you. Amen.